What's up, folks? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode is brought to you by Policy Genius. Look, it's May. Things are booming, blooming, and booming. The economy is booming, and flowers are blooming. Why not see if your home and auto insurance savings can bloom as well? We're almost halfway through with 2021, and you can head into June with one less thing to worry about. See if you're overpaying for home and auto insurance. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare home and auto insurance in one place. They can help you find a home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. They've saved shoppers up to $1,055 per year over what they were paying for home and auto insurance. Their team will handle the paperwork to set up your new policy or switch over from your current one. Getting started is really easy. Just go to policygenius.com and answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. Then Policy Genius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find your lowest quotes. Then Policy Genius team can look for ways to save you more, including bundling your home and auto policies. If they find a better rate than what you're paying now, they'll switch you over for free. Their top-notch service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now, because when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Policygenius.com. We are also brought to you by my favorite purveyors of the finest in the fine art of ganja. Tradecraft Farms, my people, at Tradecraft Farms on Instagram. They ditched their underscore that they had for a while. Whether it's edibles, smokables, vapables, new aerosols, which are really, really interesting if you ask me, Tradecraft Farms has got it. If you're in the Southern California area, stop in their Port Hueneme location. If not, give them a follow on Instagram and remember that name for when you come to town. I've seen a lot of folks over on their Instagram saying, the Smoking Tire sent me. I like when you guys do that. Go over to their gram and say, hey, the Smoking Tire sent me here. That is very, very kind of you, and I really appreciate that. This is the coolest sponsor I've ever gotten to read. And so we really want to keep them around as long as possible. So the best THC and CBD-based products directly from the heart of Los Angeles, 100% legal. Tradecraft Farms is where it's at, and we love talking about them on this here show. All right, on this episode of the podcast, Brad Brownell is in the studio. This dude has a resume that is so long right now. His CV is like the credits of a Star Wars film. It's like he's got flatsixes.com. He's got Jalopnik. He's got Radwood, Rad for Sale. He's doing this Autotopia 2099 EV show. He's doing, there's more. I don't even really, can't even really remember what else, but he has his sticky fingers in many pies. If he was in a Guy Ritchie movie, I would say that as Jason Statham in a proper accent. But he's late to the show because his Porsche 912, which he drove all the way down from Reno, broke down on the side of the road. This dude like drives and motorcycles himself all over the West Coast to go to these press launches. I don't understand why he does that. He certainly doesn't have to, but he is a G and a true road tripper. Brad Brownell of everywhere on the Smoking Tire Podcast.
Is that the Gunther Works thing?
Yeah. But what's really fun about it is that I could probably take it to the fucking drum circle in Venice tonight when I get home.
Yeah.
You know what they've been doing? They brought back the sound bath on the beach. That's basically where a bunch of people lay down.
Okay.
And someone plays like a gong.
Okay.
You know, and other like what family of instruments are gong and cymbals in? Is that just all cymbals?
Percussion?
Right, but specifically ones made of like copper metal and like reverb-based, right? It's all the cymbal family.
They have the sound bowls too that you just like move the wand.
They have those too. They have the bowl and then they have the gong, and then there's like something that resembles a steel drum, but it doesn't sound like you're in the Caribbean. It sounds like something else.
Have you ever been to Wisdom?
I've just started seeing shit about this place.
I visited,
like a dome sound bath, right?
Yeah, I visited the place because I thought it was going to be bigger for like a car space.
Uh-huh.
And we went down there yesterday, and they were like, let me just show you what this thing is.
Oh, you visited yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh, how appropriate that we're talking about sound baths today.
Let me show you.
Get a picture of this place, Zach. The Wiz Dome. It's kind of wild looking.
And it completely fucks with your head. Like, they're just
like the scale of shit? Or
you walk in, and you lay down on, like, a reclining chair,
uh-huh.
and you look up at the dome, and they project, like, three-dimensional art. And then they just play, like, trippy music.
So this is the next evolution of the Pink Floyd laser light
show.
Right.
But it completely messes
Which
with
was
your...
was good, by the way, back in the day.
Your brain's, like, stability center.
Because
you don't know what direction is up.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the thing is, like, coming at you, and then all of a sudden you're, like,
this
flying
is not VR?
It.
Is VR or not
no,
VR?
Okay, not VR.
Yeah, okay.
It's all just projected up on the dome, but it's, like, crystal clear, because everything's dark in there.
And, cool. And when are the shows, and how much is admission?
I don't know when they're coming back, but...
Wait, Dome Park? Are there multiple domes?
Yeah, there's six domes.
Holy shit, I didn't know about this.
Yeah.
This seems awesome.
Yeah.
Fuck me, where is this place?
Yeah, five domes, there it is.
Where is that? Downtown?
Downtown.
Get the
it's
fuck
the
out
arts,
of here.
It's the Arts District.
I gotta check that
out.
They
set it up
cool.
in a lot or something like that?
That's not what I was thinking
permanent.
Of.
Oh, it's permanent.
It's permanent. It's there forever, yeah.
What's the one in Palm Springs?
I don't know.
This, you know, there's one in Palm Springs that was the coca leaf, and this is the cocaine. There's like one in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Google like Palm Springs sound bath dome. There's one in Palm Springs that is an old school dome that was built in like the 80s by some hippies. And there it is. The sound bath dome. Landers.
Wow.
It's called the sound bath.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's the first ever sound bath. And that's what I thought you were talking about. And oh, by the way, that would be fun as fuck for
her.
That would be a cool, maybe this will work out for a car.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, yours seems like, I want to do that with Hannah. That seems fun.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's too small to do anything car related, but it looked wicked.
But date night?
Yeah. Totally,
date night for
totally
sure.
Totally date night.
All right, cool.
So
that's awesome.
That was one of the things I'm down here for, is to scout venues for a car show at the end of the year.
That's cool. What else to find? Anything good?
Does
that have to be secret, or can we talk
about
it?
No, I think it's pretty cool. I went to a place that was a nursery, so it was going to be like very plant-themed and like warehousey and stuff like that. Thought that would be cool. And
if
then,
it was a nursery, is there anything plant-related that's like left?
Hmm.
Or is it just an empty warehouse?
No, there was tons of plants.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. There was plants in the ground. There was plants. Yeah. It was,
okay,
cool. It was very cool. They ended up wanting a lot of money because it was down like Skid Row, which you would think would be cheap, but it's really not.
Like everywhere else in LA.
Right. Yeah. And
you
then
know,
I
don't understand. These houses, they're all 1,000 square feet and they're ugly. Why,
right.
is,
why is
everything $1.3 million? I don't understand.
And then the venue that I think that I'm going to book, he's going to give me a quote next week, is a movie studio.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a small-scale movie studio, but they have, like, indoor filming, and they have outdoor filming, and they have four parking lots. And
cool.
Very cool space.
Is it for Radwood?
No, it's for Autopia.
Oh, yes.
I'm starting an electric car show.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
I'm about that.
Yeah. And it's going to be, you know, very early Luftgekult kind of vibes, where it's very, like, low-key.
The first Luft was in days.
Yeah.
35 Did you go to that
cars
one?
Or something? No.
I think it was maybe 11 or 12 cars.
Okay.
Deus is tiny.
Yeah, yeah.
The entire Deus lot is maybe 6,000 square feet.
Yeah.
The whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tiny.
And there's 3,500 of it is a restaurant.
Right.
Store on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Is it okay that there's like six other businesses named Autopia?
It's Autopia2099.
Okay.
.com.
Just checking for
there you.
You.
Go.
Okay.
There's a place in Burbank that's a car storage place called Autopia. Or is that auto? That's Autotopia. Excuse me.
Yeah, that's it. Right there.
Autopia 2099. Yep. Oh, I like your Epcot Center.
Exactly.
Graphics.
You got it right
100%.
There. 100%.
There you go. What was your Epcot Center ride? Did you? I mean, other than Space Mountain, which is the obvious. I like the Wedway People Mover, which was some like just little train ride through the future.
It has been 20 years since I have no idea.
I've never even been to Disneyland. I've only been to the World.
I don't know which one's which.
World is Florida.
Okay.
Land is Anaheim.
Okay. I've only been to the Florida one.
Yeah, they're probably the same. One has flies, you know, one has mosquitoes. It's like this, you know, one has alligators.
Yeah, gators.
You know.
Don't go in the water.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I thought the hotels were the coolest part of it, because the hotels were like, that were pretty futuristic with the monorail shit and all that.
Mm-hmm.
The hotels were like real interesting.
My family always did like the lower middle class way where you get the timeshare.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, you go to the timeshare and they pitch you on it.
Oh, you straight up did that?
For like 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then you say no and they give you the tickets anyway.
You've got to say no 7 times. Yeah. I went to one of those. Yeah. I was just listening to this podcast. You know California City? Obviously, you know California City.
Yeah,
the city.
I was there. Yeah.
You know the story of California City?
No.
It's a insane multi-level marketing scheme, and it's kind of always been. It's been like waves of this multi-level marketing scheme.
I was there last week.
It's for the wild, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it's like the wild frontier, like crazy town.
The mayor was there at the Harley thing.
Of course he was.
And they were like pitching us on how it was going to be like the next weed capital.
Bro, they did? Don't. It's still going.
Yo,
oh my God.
Listen, don't give them any money.
Do not buy any property.
Listen to this podcast. It's just called California City.
Okay.
And on your ride, on your drive back to, it's like 6 1-hour things.
Okay.
It's basically the length of you to drive all the way
home.
Yeah. Listen to them. Do not give those people a dime. Seriously.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a really well-done show.
If you have no idea what we're talking about, a guy named Nathan Mendelsohn tried to start the City of Tomorrow in the middle of the goddamn desert, saying it would be the next Palm Springs or the next, you know, Los Angeles was a desert once too.
Yep.
You know, Phoenix was a desert once too. Salt Lake City was a, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he basically convinced people to move there. I mean, it's a real crazy MLM type of scheme that is ongoing to today with similar players in crazy ways, and like it's a great place to do adventure motorcycling
because
it's a lot
great.
Of nothing.
It's great.
Imagine an enormous planned city that nobody ever moved to.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you were riding that Harley.
Yes.
The Panamerica or Panamericana? Panamerica 1250, which looks like possibly the most exciting Harley Davidson in quite some time.
It's really good. I loved the Livewire. I still love the Livewire. But the Panamerica is very, very good.
I saw my very first customer Livewire last week at Cars and Coffee.
The
very first one I've seen outside of a journalist riding one.
Okay.
It's rad looking.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah. But this Panamerica thing, I mean, wow, that's an adventure motorcycle that looks really, really good.
Yeah, it's like, it's on par with like a BMW or a Ducati or KTM or whatever for a little bit less money. So it's like between like a Honda and a Ducati. It cuts the difference.
I mean, that's pretty awesome.
On price.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Is the engine engine?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it feel like a modern motorcycle? Yeah. Okay.
Dual overhead cams, VVT.
Oh, really?
Water cooled.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they're doing this now.
It's a brand new motor.
I thought it was like Harley's customers were like, can you make all of the bikes feel like they're from 1966?
So the way that they described it, it's actually got like 3 balancers inside it to keep the vibrations down.
Uh-huh.
And the way
like
they described it.
Like a GT350.
Yeah, they described it like it's only the only vibrations we let out are to let you know it's alive. It's like okay, all right,
like noise canceling headphones. Well, that's okay. I mean, I rode that Multistrada V4S thing like a couple weeks ago.
The previous generation, the 1260.
Dude, this thing was fucking badass.
Yeah,
it got real spoiled. That quick shifter spoiled the shit out of me.
So this doesn't offer quick shift. There are things that the Ducati offers that this doesn't.
Mm-hmm. On an adventure bike, I don't think I could go without quick shift, but I'll still have a go.
It's got some stuff that nobody else has.
What's that?
It's got what do they call it? ALH, ARH, advanced ride height, or something like that. And it literally, as you come to a
stop.
Height
adjustable?
As you come to a stop, it lowers.
Oh, so you can put your feet down?
Yeah, so you can put your feet down.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's wicked.
How long is the warranty?
I don't know.
That's cool. Is there like on-road mode, off-road mode, and that adjusts the height as well?
Yeah.
Bro, that's kind of crazy. Is that the first motorcycle to ever have a height adjustable suspension on the fly like that?
Yeah.
Is it air?
I think it's hydraulic. No, it must be air. It must be air.
Do you think it has a compressor on it?
It compresses when you move it.
Oh,
so
shit.
So it, like, as you're sitting there, you're rocking back and forth or whatever, it'll kind of lift, and then, like, you take off, and it'll kind of, like, move around a bit, and
that's
it, so it pumps
wild.
Up. It pumps up on its own. And then as you're coming, as you come to a slow stop, it just kind of goes.
That's
and
fucking
it lowers
cool.
1 to 2 inches depending on what.
And then your feet are just chilling, yeah. and then you just go. Yeah. That's cool as fuck. Yeah.
And it has.
Remember that weird three-wheeled Piaggio
yes,
thing
with the
and
two had, front wheels.
Yeah, yeah, and it had a button on it that would lock it. So yeah. you'd come up to a thing and you just hit the button and it would just lock it. And then when you hit the throttle, it would unlock.
Yeah.
And you just didn't have to put your feet down. It was yeah. cool. It was yeah, just a yeah. nice thing. Yeah.
It has advanced ride mode, so you've got rain mode, street mode, sport mode.
Does it adjust the power levels or just
yeah.
the response?
Well, yeah, it's response.
Yeah. Because the Ducati will do like in enduro mode or city mode, it's like 115 horsepower.
Right.
And then on like tour or sport, it's 170.
Right.
I preferred it on the fucking softer. No, I liked it in tour. I liked the full power, but a little bit softer on the throttle. I'm not a MotoGP like throttler, you know. I don't have that. Look awesome of this thing mobbing in the dirt.
We did some pretty wicked off-road stuff. It was the reason we were out in California City is because there's an advanced riding school out there, dirt riding.
Oh wow!
So we did a full day of drills, just learning how to ride off-road.
Did you fall?
I didn't.
You ridden?
I didn't.
Really? Good for you.
But the week before that, I went on a 2-day camping trip with a Zero.
Uh huh. Really?
Yeah.
Would you charge it with?
It has 150 miles range,
oh, okay.
so you just
All
right. go off road 100, you know, 70 miles
got
and
it,
70
got
miles
it.
Back.
Yeah.
So, we did a 2-day like camping overnight out in the desert in Nevada. And I fell a lot on that.
Really?
A ton.
It seems so appealing to ride motorcycles off-road, but I've had 2 back surgeries, and I'm so afraid of falling.
Yeah.
Like, I just fuck myself up. I don't know if I could do it.
If the terrain isn't too bad, like if it's sandy,
yeah.
you fall in it. I mean, you're falling at like 2 miles an hour. So
yeah,
it's
I know.
Not,
yeah.
It's not too bad. I didn't hurt. I didn't have any, like, bruises or anything, but...
I'm just a bitch.
Yeah, it could be.
You know what you need? You need Sprinter 2500 4x4 with that.
Yeah,
that
right.
Seat.
Yeah, the air seat.
It doesn't have air seat, but it's the most comfortable seat I've ever had in a van.
Okay,
it rules. Nice. How much is that bike between Honda and Ducati's? What, like $20,000?
It starts at 17,500 or something like that.
Cool.
So, and you can, I think, top of the line is like 22.
Like, that's pretty cool.
Like fully maxed out.
If you didn't ever want to go off road with it, is it still a good motorcycle? If it was just on road.
Yeah. I mean, I would ride it all
why
day.
Why would you buy an adventure bike if you didn't want to take it off road?
Like, because people do that all the time.
I know.
GSs.
But
like,
I mean, I'd buy a GS or a Multistrada if I was doing, if I had a long commute, like a 30 or 40 mile commute year round.
Yeah, I'd be good for that.
I'd 100% ride a bike.
Are they more comfortable
like
than street oriented options, I guess is my question. Like, does Harley or Ducati make something that seating position?
Harley definitely does.
Big
Harleys are super comfy. That's a couch on the motor on the, you know, highway. But I mean, if you want to ride sporty and look hard, you know, you put the big metal bags on the back and you wear your reflective vest and, you know.
I just like the upright riding position.
Yeah,
it's like
a
tall person who likes to sit upright.
Sure.
Like, it's such a nice option for, like, you know, when I had that Multistrada, I put more miles on in a day than I've ever put in a single motorcycle. It was great.
I think these on the road are soft. They're softer sprung. I mean, they sit taller and stuff, so you're probably going to have a little more comfort on the long run on one of these than like I took last year. I took a Diavel.
Oh yeah,
across the country.
That seems aggressive. Like, that's a lovely motorcycle.
Yeah.
Is that what you want to do with that motorcycle?
No. I mean, it was fine. It was it was comfy. I didn't have a problem with it. It's just a lot of miles every day.
Do you enjoy that kind of miles after day after day after day on a motorcycle?
I enjoy putting myself in scenarios where I hate myself.
You do.
There's a couple of these writers that are real gluttons for fucking punishment. Bowman.
Yeah.
Bowman is that comes to mind, who's like the car martyr.
Yep.
Let's drive a lunchbox across Alaska. Yeah.
And occasionally Sam Smith will go into that story. He'll have a real bad idea that he'll follow through on. But
so
you seem to take a lot of really uncomfortable trips.
Yeah. The way that I describe it to people that people sort of understand is I'm the kid from the Midwest that wore shorts in January and was like, it's not cold.
That's so funny.
So
I did a short sleeves through a lot of the winter in Connecticut.
Yeah.
I had the North Face vest, but I would keep the short sleeves.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
That's a good look.
Did you see me in the elevator?
Yeah. I didn't, but I've seen the picture.
The picture of me in the elevator is I'm Smash Mouth here, and then I'm Greenwich here, and then below the waist, I'm like somewhere between Rage Against the Machine and Nine Inch Nails.
Did you have a wallet chain?
For a time, I did. And even after I got rid of the wallet chain after a while, but some of those friends from back then, they still have wallet chains. This might be the same wallet chain.
I never had a wallet chain. I never did the chain.
You know, it... I always actually, after about a month with a wallet chain, I was like, first off, this fucking thing keeps hitting my car, and that's driving me nuts. Second of all, it seems like a roadmap to where your wallet is.
Yeah.
And if you really want, all you got to do is yank on the chain. It wasn't like secure.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this seems kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I never got with wearing a lot of metal.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have, were you Doc Martens ever? Did you ever go that route?
Yeah, a little bit.
How many holes?
I don't know.
Do you remember? I got up to about 18 holes.
Oh, like the tall ones.
Yeah,
which
takes you to about here.
I could never...
That's the Dita Von Teese model, I believe.
I could never do that much. I think I did like the low tops.
The regular ones. Yeah, regular ones. They're the best ones, really, in hindsight.
No, I was in high school. I was more the hemp and leather guy.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Like the natural leather.
Yeah.
Right.
The cuff.
Yes.
Leather cuff.
The cuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cuffs are kind of. So I've seen some cuffs coming back. People are trying to make the bund strap happen again, and I'm just like, oh, dude, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was a Quentin Tarantino movie, and you're not Brad Pitt. Come on. It's like, you know, that's a Nazi thing, right? That's like a Luftwaffe thing, you know? So
maybe avoid that.
I did really enjoy, speaking of motorcycles, I saw you in Palm Springs for the Moto Guzzi V7 thing. I thought that was a fun little bike. I enjoyed that.
It was fun. Yeah, it was good.
And that drive route was a good time, too.
You had actually the same exact bike I did.
The blue
one? Rode the day after I did, yeah.
Yeah, the blue Classic?
Yeah.
I think they ride exactly the same, right?
Yeah.
It was nice. I like those little like V-twin bikes and like the Royal Enfield, which is a parallel, not a V, but they make these sort of spitty sounds that I really find appealing.
Yeah,
they're just kind of a
very
throwback. Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah.
And you don't like have to zing them to 12,000 RPM to like go.
Yeah,
like
they're fun, torquey, they're cheap.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even the Guzzi was like $9,000 or something.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty affordable.
For a European motorcycle, that's pretty cheap.
Yeah. Hand-built Italian. Come on.
It's really built in Italy.
Yeah.
Because like if you want, a cheap Ducati, it is built not in Italy.
Right.
Is it Philippines? Where's the Scrambler built?
I think India?
India.
Malaysia? Maybe it's Malaysia.
I think it's Malaysia. It's definitely not Italy.
Yeah.
But if you get the Scrambler with the bigger motor, I think it's called Scrambler Pro.
Mm.
That one is built in Italy.
Okay.
The 1100 or whatever, which I really want to get. They got repoed and sent. Not repoed, but it got taken out of the press fleet and sent to like a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, God damn it, Tom Cruise.
I'm actually going to San Francisco on Monday to ride the new Monster.
Oh, awesome. They invited me to that one, but I couldn't go because I'm doing GT3 for a Road and Track print, which means I get 4 more days with
the
GT3.
God. All
I'm
right.
like, clear the calendar.
Yeah, that's probably worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was that one took precedence. More that I had to do the gig, but I talked to Jordan, and I'm going to get on the new Monster. Look at the new Monster.
That is an amazing-looking bike.
The new Monster looks nasty, doesn't it?
Wow.
They got rid of the trellis frame, so it lost some of its like signature look. Mm-hmm. But
it doesn't even have a frame.
Yeah,
they've hidden the entire frame. It's just like a motor in a case floating.
Yeah. It looks a lot more like a race replica that you just changed the headlight now.
Yeah.
Like you street fired it instead of being a little bit different in shape like it used to.
Are they are they discontinuing the Street Fighter? Are they merging them into one model?
No.
Because this looks an awful lot like the Street Fighter.
No, that's a lot more power and a
That's the V4.
Yeah, it's the V4.
Yeah, it's the V4. That's a good point.
And
that's fucking cool looking.
The Street Fighter is basically a naked, whatever, the Panigale.
Panigale, right, yeah. They actually offered me that one, and I was like, I'm a little scared, and I think maybe not.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I'm excited for the new monster.
Yeah, I'm stoked. It'll be fun.
But goddamn,
and I will
man.
See you on TLX Type S, too.
Oh, at Laguna?
Yeah. I think that'll be fun.
I mean, Laguna Seca's always fun, and it'll fun to be in Monterey for a second.
It's a 400 horsepower sedan. Like, it's got to be pretty good.
It'll be all right. Yeah. I'm sort of like...
jaded?
No, but I'm just like, am I really... yeah, am I really going to get on a plane to drive an Acura? And I was second guess. I'm going to go. But I was second guessing it for like a minute. Mm. I was just like, but yes, I am going to go.
I think if
it's
was
Laguna Seca, of course.
If it was a TLX, like a regular TLX, I'd be like,
but it's the Type S.
But
yeah, so
yeah. V6 twin turbo. Like,
it'll be good.
That'll be fun.
It'll be good.
It'll be fast. It'll be very fast.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. And it's you know, it gets you out of the house.
It's got to be. It's got to be better than like the Q60 Red Sport, right?
I haven't driven that, so probably.
I didn't like the steering in that. It was very soft.
Isn't that the super steer-by-wire?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one. Yep. Drive anything good recently?
I haven't really been driving anything. I've been riding a bunch of bikes.
Motorcycles, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Taycan was pretty great.
That was a good time. We drove the turbo. I had the four.
I had a base four.
And still super fast and super awesome.
470 horsepower.
Yeah. Like, not slow.
Pretty good. 4-something to 60.
What's your verdict on plastic versus painted body cladding?
I mean, I'd rather have it low and no cladding at all. But yeah. I drive a Tour X, so it's basically a It's basically a faster, more comfortable, sportier, better steering Tour X.
There you go.
on electric.
That car is so good.
It's really good.
It's so fucking
good. In my review, I said, you know, I might be biased because I own 4 Porsches and a Buick Tour X, but this is the best car that's ever been made.
If you add up the power of all 4 of your Porsches and it into the body of the Tour X, it's still... Yeah.
You'd have to add the power from the Tour X plus all 4 of my Porsches to equal that one.
The Tour X is kind of fun. Really. It's a good looking car. If they put a different badge on the front, I think they would have sold more. I really do.
I think if they had marketed it at all.
At all. Right.
They would have sold more.
They did. They sent out leaflets.
Yeah.
Here's the demographics. Yeah. It's a wagon. We make it.
Literally their entire marketing campaign for that era of Buick was, Buick, we don't look like Buick anymore.
It's like, what's that?
Yeah.
It's a Buick. Oh. Yeah. It's got a Buick grill.
That's a Buick? Come on.
They just park them at Denny's at 4 p.m. to get that early bird special crowd coming in.
Yeah. No, I really love mine.
It's good looking.
We've taken it across the country a couple times. It's really my wife's car, but neither of us are commuting anymore right now, so it kind of just sits around.
Remember when Buick brought back the, like, was it the Regal GS?
Mm-hmm.
And I drove that thing, and I was like, this would be a fabulous Saab 9-3.
Mm-hmm.
that was pretty much what they were building.
I mean,
it was
an Opel.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a fast Opel.
Yeah. So, it's a decent car, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it's good build quality. It's good German engineering.
The badge just looks so old.
Mm-hmm.
And the Regal GS. That was a pretty nice car, actually, for what it was.
Yeah, I like my Buick. I like my Opel. It's a good Opel.
My grandma had the Cadillac Catera, which was also an Opel.
Caddy the Zigs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hers didn't zig very much. That fucking thing.
It broke down a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I would put my Tour X up against like a entry-level 3 Series wagon or something like that. Or 5 Series wagon. It's probably bigger. Yeah.
A customer of mine just got a new Outback, and I was like, the seats are like real good in it. Mm-hmm. It's a big car now, obviously.
Pretty much everything's good these days.
Most things are.
Yeah.
There's a couple things we've driven that were like under... Well, actually, what have we driven recently that was not great?
Underwhelming, less than whelming.
That Cadillac a couple months ago, but that was like 5 or 6 months ago at this point.
Which Cadillac?
The CT5V.
Oh, that's a bummer.
It was no bueno. But it was like the all-wheel drive one, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
If I had the rear drive one, that would have been a different story. But meanwhile, I've seen... I know, that's dumb. Meanwhile, I've seen 0 on the road.
Right.
Literally 0.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But most things today are pretty quick. you know, stop well, have enough tech, like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Corolla. Corolla was $25,000 and it had like radar cruise, comfy seats. Yeah.
Radar cruise for $25,000 is where we're at now. Yeah. I like that life. Great. That's very good.
That used to be like $100,000 S class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. 2012-ish.
There's a, we've got a Cayenne Turbo downstairs from 04 with very low miles that has the earliest keyless entry and keyless start system that I've ever seen. It's really, really interesting
system.
Well,
Porsche's keyless start, you had to like leave a fob in the key thing.
It has a whole module. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's weird.
Yeah. What's up with Radwood San Francisco? Is happening?
Yeah.
How exciting?
It's very exciting. I actually have some.
Look at your notes.
I have some stuff to break, so I've got to have notes here so I get my dates right.
What do we got?
We've got San Mateo is NorCal. Yeah. So it'll be San Mateo Events Center on July 10th.
Nice.
Which is our first show back since March of 20. We did a show in Texas, and it was like the week before lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
It was gnarly. Even while we were there, we were like...
Is it a super spreader event?
As far as we can tell, it wasn't.
It was outside.
And it was like, at the time when they locked down Texas, I think there was like 25 cases in the U.S. or something like that. It was just like, we know it's coming here, so we got to prepare. But it was very like, it was all outdoors. But there was a ton of people.
Yeah.
And then, starter jackets kill the virus.
Yeah, right. The windbreaker keeps
everybody zinc on everything.
Yeah. But we're hopeful that didn't happen. We don't know. There was no follow up from the CDC.
If so, my attorney can be consulted at
if there was no headline.
A week later, Texas was like, hey, we're going to limit events to like 150 people. And we were like, oh, our event was like 4,000.
Whoa.
You know.
But I mean, we didn't know any better back then.
Yeah, of course.
And then as soon as Texas locked down and as soon as the NBA did their thing, we were like, oh, the two events that we have planned, we have to just shut them down. So we were pretty early acting and... we still have some people that held on to their tickets.
Nice.
So those are forever eligible. If they come to any show ever, they're welcome to bring those tickets. But San Mateo, that'll be our first event back. And then I have it on good authority that we'll be in Austin, Texas, and somewhere in the Midwest, either Chicago or Detroit. Somewhere through the year, we're still looking for a venue, still looking for a date. But hopefully that'll be late summer, early fall. And then September 19th will be Pacific Northwest.
Oh, nice.
At Dirtfish.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
They have a Group B collection there.
Yeah,
that'll
they do.
Be like the center stone of the.
That's fucking a good idea. Yeah. That's cool.
And then
that'll be nice in the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back in LA. We're actually moving our show up to November this year, November 19th in SoCal.
Do you know where yet?
No.
Oh, that's what you're doing. You're looking for spots. That's, that's for the electric show.
That's for the other show. Yeah. We have an idea that it'll probably be at a hangar.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
Don't know which one yet.
There are
a few around.
There's options. Yeah, cool. Yeah. That's fun.
If you're in the Northeast, Greenwich Concourse, we're going to have a class.
The Radwood class?
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
So that's October 3rd.
Greenwich Concourse is a nice event.
Yeah.
There'll maybe be about I'll go to New York for that one.
There'll be about 50 cars.
My parents live in Greenwich, so maybe I'll come do a thing or something.
Cool.
That could be
Enter
fun.
Enter one of your cars.
I'd have to ship it there. I don't have anything appropriate on the Vanquish is too new. That doesn't really work.
Mm.
Well, I could find something. But it would be a fun time.
Stressful
road trip.
Yeah.
Is it still down on the water?
I don't know. I've never been.
Oh, it's nice.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I have restaurant recommendations for you, too.
Autopia is probably going to be the first weekend of December, the traditional Radwood time.
Oh, okay, cool.
December 4th, Los Angeles, hopefully by LAX, so you can fly in, you know. And then tickets hopefully will be on sale next week.
Sweet.
So... If I can lock down the venue.
If it's the same weekend that we traditionally would have the Radwood, then we have to have the pre-Autopia party, I suppose.
Yeah.
It might be transitionary. If my building permit comes through in the next, like, month, then we might be able to be like, no furniture party in Venice before we move out. That could be a good time.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
That's amazing. That's a bunch of events.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And
where exactly is San Mateo? I mean, I know it's like...
It's on the peninsula, like 5 miles south of San Francisco.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. On the water.
It's on the water side. Yeah, oh, yeah. Rad. Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
So, yeah, it'll be fun. That one, it's going to be big. We've already sold 200 car tickets. Usually.
Oh, really? Zoom out, Zach. Where the fuck is that? Oh,
so,
right.
SFO's right up here?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Oh, it's by Hannah's old place. Cool.
So usually we expect to double what we've sold in tickets day of.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already sold 200 cars. We expect there to be another 200 sold before the day, and then probably 400 or so will show up day of.
Wow.
So maybe 800 to 1,000 cars.
Oh, my God. That's
hopefully,
so crazy.
You know, fingers crossed.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I think.
And we've got room for it, so it's going to be sweet.
Cool. That's awesome.
Royalty.
How can people support by buying merch now? Just go to your website?
Yeah.
Are you selling merch right now?
I'm the merch guy.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Go buy merch and support Radwood. Can you guys apply for a PPP loan?
We did.
Did you?
Yeah, we got it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
good for you.
We needed it, but we're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't do a show for a year and a half.
That's what it's for.
We're back, and we've sold tickets. We've got.
Buy some swag.
We had to pivot and do Rad for Sale. So we have the auction.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you have a code for something?
I do, yeah.
What's that?
So Rad for Sale is our auction site for people who haven't heard about it. It's obviously same criteria as Radwood, 80 to 1999. And we've sold some good cars on there. We had the 944 Turbo Cup sold for almost
like
a record price.
It was
$90,000.
A lot of money. Yeah.
We sold
there we go. 1995 Dodge Viper, 20K.
We sold a replica of the Top Gun Ninja, the ZX900
nice.
Ninja. That went for like way over valuation. So, you know, whatever
that's
that
awesome.
Means.
Awesome. What was it?
It was like $7,800.
Which
that's
a
like,
lot for
yeah
for like a yeah. other than Top Gun like
I think,
a whatever ninja
I think Haggerty valued it at like $5,800 or
solid.
Something like that
yeah, that's
so
great.
Went pretty good
yeah
we're starting to really pick up speed and we've got a lot of good traffic every day. I actually bought those Design 90 wheels
for oh really
yeah.
For what
by accident. I was like, oh, these are going way too cheap. I'm going to put
God,
in a bid.
Oh, my God, Illumina Euro 3.1.
Yeah.
$1,100.
Yeah.
So many IROCs. You guys have a bunch of fucking Camaros
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, oh, my God, that Goldwing.
Yeah.
I'd
that
like
thing
to
was
buy
a
that
bargain.
Goldwing and take, for $2,000,
yeah.
I'd like to buy that and take everything off it and
yep.
have like one of those naked Goldwings.
So my idea for one of these is to fill the bags with batteries and put an electric motor in it. Just
oh,
see
God.
How see how many miles I can get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't cool. it be like, it would be like 1,500 pounds.
Oh,
probably.
I mean, it's already 1,500 pounds.
Oh, my God.
It's like having a heavy passenger.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know what that's like either. But
put 300
wow.
pounds of batteries in the back. It's like having a you know big guy on the back.
That's a good point, I guess. I wouldn't want to ride a motorcycle with me on the back.
That's yeah, maybe.
That guy Jamie did,
Jamie
Robinson. And it was nuts. Oh, that's that Reebok Turbo
yeah.
Cup
Matt,
rules.
Just get on the back. I'll take you for a little ride up in the canyons.
Up and down.
Don't shit yourself.
Try not to poo.
Crazy.
It was just absurd.
Crazy.
But yeah, we have a code for anybody who wants to list. You can list for free on Rad for Sale, 80 to 1999. And the code is tubular.
That's a good word.
Tubular.
Way to bring that back.
Yeah.
I appreciate you bringing back tubular.
Giving it some effort.
Yeah, that's good. Zach, are you writing that down? Zach is furiously typing on his iPhone. So
the,
we can put that link in
the producer's doing the producer's duties. He's doing a really
he's
good job.
He's got it sometimes. Zach has to multitask. Like,
yeah.
He's switching video feeds. He's
I couldn't
looking
do his job.
Up. It's hard when I you think, have to be involved in the conversation.
I think only Zach could do Zach's job.
Exactly. He's a clutch player.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's
amazing. That's a whole year full of shit.
Yeah.
A bunch
and
of events.
You know, started in, well, revived a website.
What are you doing?
Still work at Jalopnik, doing some freelance stuff for Auto Week, you
Bro,
know.
The gig economy is strong with this one.
Well, okay.
Like, you are like pure gig economy right now.
Let's talk about Flat Sixes.
Flat Sixes.com.
I've written for this site for about 8 years. It's all Porsche stuff. It started out as one guy's blog. It was just 993C4S.com because he had a 993C4S.
That's probably a good website. I wonder what that's worth right now.
I think it's still part of the business.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. And then it was Porsche Purist for a while.
That I remember, yeah.
And Porsche said, maybe don't call it that.
Maybe you can't use a name with Porsche in it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But they were a sponsor of ours, so we're like, oh, of course.
Uh-huh.
We'll change whatever you want. No big deal. So that worked out really well.
Call it PorschesAreperfect.com.
We've been flat sixes for, I think, like 6 years. And
Porsche reimagined by flatsixes.com.
That's right. It's been really good. We obviously things have been very interesting with the site because the guy who started the site actually passed away 2 years ago. So his wife and I have been running it since then. Mm. And at the beginning of the year, she said, you know, I don't really want to put any effort into my dead husband's company, so...
Fair.
You know, it was very, like...
She's like, I'd really like some ad revenue, but I'd really like to not do anything.
I think it was just...
She's like, look, I'm kind of a Camaro person.
Yeah, right, yeah. No, she's definitely a Porsche
person.
Quite frankly,
we didn't really get along on our automotive interests.
I always said that the Cayman was the greatest Porsche ever made.
Really, I've gravitated towards Subarus, and it should be flat fours now, mm-hmm. She, you know, I imagine it was painful dealing with...
I don't mean to joke about this. Yeah. Well, I do, but I mean only in a really lighthearted way.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
She's one of the kindest people I've ever met. But anyway, so the beginning of this year, she said, you know, I've kind of reached my end with the site. What do you want to do? Because she was like, if you don't want to keep it going, I'll just let it ride and we'll, you know, stop investing in it and just see what happens. And I was like, well, you know, I've invested a lot of time and effort into this site. I don't want to see it die. I want to, you know, keep the legacy of what John started alive. And so I reached out to a couple of friends of mine at Wrecked Media, and we brokered a deal to purchase the site. So now we own it. And Wrecked Media is Chad Kirchner. I don't know if you know him.
Oh yeah, I know. And I didn't know the company, but I know that name.
And then another guy who's big into IT stuff, so he's helping us run the back end and working on that. So basically it's like five of us now, where it was before it was just like two of us.
Yeah.
So we've got a bigger team, and we're dedicating some effort to rebuilding the site and getting it back to where it needs to be.
Nice. So all those advertisers who hit me up asking me to place links, hit Brad up.
Yeah.
I don't have any links to place. I don't have articles to place links on.
Happy
hit Brad up. Place fucking links on his shit. Mad links everywhere.
Mad links.
Amazon, hyperlinks, feedback, whatever the fuck.
Yep.
That's awesome. I mean, are you enjoying, like, because it obviously takes a lot of, like, consistent blogging.
Yeah.
You know the fucking formula.
Yeah. It's we're trying to do 10 blogs a week on just Porsche, which is not easy.
You have to go back and find like old issues of like Enthusiast magazine and just like redo all this info.
This is what they thought of the 930 when it was new.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to head to eBay tonight. That's a good idea.
I have go look at the library in the hallway and see if you get any ideas.
Nice.
People have given me lots of like weird air-cooled books and stuff.
But Wrecked Media started EV Pulse like almost a year ago now. And I was doing some freelance work with them. Chad called me and he was like, hey, what if I gave you an opinion column and you had carte blanche? And I was like, yeah, okay.
That sounds like a great idea, but it's actually really hard.
You run out of ideas real quick.
Yeah, you do three stories and you go, now what?
Yeah.
Fuck.
You run out of ideas real quick.
Yeah,
I kept it going for a year. But anyway, so
I'm about to struggle with this. I'm writing the GT3 for Road and Track, but I already wrote the GT3 for Road and Track. I wrote it for web, and now I'm writing for print. And there are a couple very, very subtle nuance changes they want, but they don't want to reuse any of the copy. Mm-hmm. So I have to write all
the
copy.
The whole thing.
And the only difference is like, it's got to be 300 words shorter. And I'm like, oh, great. So, like, that actually makes it harder.
Yeah.
So I have to write the same thing for the same publication, do it differently, and
make
it shorter.
How many words do they want?
I think it's only like 1600. For me, that's
my
like,
Harley review was 3900.
I read it.
Whoa!
I read it this morning. It's long as fuck. It's long. Very detailed.
It's long.
And I tried when I read the Multistrada. It's, you know, when a bike has that much tech, you know, it's got a lot of tech that you would totally take for granted in a car that isn't even worth mentioning, pretty much. But in a bike, it's so extraordinary that it has this shit.
Yeah.
You know, if a car's got adaptive, a height adjustable air suspension, that's one sentence in a car.
Yeah.
On a motorcycle, that's like 700 words or something to describe to people what's going on you know?
I mean, this is a brand new bike with a brand new motor with brand new
everything.
From a company who's never built a bike like this before. Yeah. So it's like, I got to go all
put
out
it in
on
context.
This.
Now, it's 3900's like that's it's. I read it, it's a lot, it's very detailed, but and there's a lot to write. But you know, for like to keep
it
to go under two is tough if you are, you know, descriptive.
It took basically an entire day to write it. It took 3 days to ride the bike and an entire day to write about
Holy
it.
Holy shit, I hope they paid you by the word. I hope you're pulling by the
word
on that.
I have a really good contract with
Is that you or is
yeah,
that
that's
a,
me.
That's you?
Oh, yeah. I sent it.
Nice air.
I sent it.
Yeah.
There's another one further down where I got more air, but
what's your
I'm
sorry, go ahead. It's a good-looking engine. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Actually, I said there was a topic where I said, will it send? And yes, it will send.
The what's your thoughts there on... Because you're doing so many miles on motorcycles and shit.
Yeah.
Do you fucking go Bluetooth headset?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
All right.
Yep.
You don't... Does it not... I don't have any thoughts on the policies or whatever of it, but like I've always been like, no, you need to hear everything around you at all times. But like, is that not really the case with these headsets?
I think the wind noise is louder than the headset.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like you can still hear cars. You can still hear what's going on around you. I mean, if you don't crank it.
Yeah.
And I have ones that are fitted to my helmet, so they're actually like further out than just like in your ear.
Oh,
I don't do
okay.
earbuds or anything like that. It's a specific motorcycle setup.
Did you try the radar cruise control yet on the motorcycle?
No, I haven't.
The Multistrada has radar cruise control.
They invited me to.
A little bit.
Yeah, I imagine. They invited me to ride the V4S, but I haven't had a chance to get there yet.
I mean, you should, but that radar cruise is like. I mean, I'm sure it's good. You know what I mean? It didn't do anything. I used it for 30 seconds. It didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Within that 30 seconds, it scared me.
Right.
But I was still like, I don't think I'm ready for this.
I can see how, like, on a long highway ride, it would be very beneficial.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going I-80 across the U.S., like, that's a sucky ride.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't really want anyone to control the brakes other than me.
Yeah.
So that does throw me for a loop, you know?
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, maybe I could try it. I mean, if you got cut off and it just like locked the brakes up,
I would only use
the
middle
it,
of nowhere. Like, I wouldn't even bother. Like,
But, and in LA, I'm always, you know, lane splitting and stuff anyway. So,
like the civilized world,
right?
We got a lot of questions from people. We got
cool.
If you're going to get in the super chat, do it in the next few minutes while we still have your attention. And Zach will see and pee. And then make it the big, Hector Gonzalez says, what do you guys think is the future for Alfa Romeo? Alfa Romeo. That's a dinner I made last
tomato,
night.
Tomato, tomato.
Alfa Romeo. It's rigatoni, alfalfa, and tomato.
Okay.
It's exciting, but when you make it with the recipe every time, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. It, you know,
sometimes you get halfway through eating it, and it's like, this wasn't for me.
Sometimes it's really a letdown. Occasionally, it's fabulous.
And you can't give it to anybody else.
Looks really, when you photograph it on Instagram, though, everyone thinks it's the best shit ever.
Yes, absolutely.
The future, I mean, are they having trouble selling cars? I believe they are.
I mean, I don't know. I think Maserati has been doing okay with the Levante. I don't know.
I don't see a lot of Levantes.
Really? I've seen a few.
I mean, a few, yeah, but I do see a lot of Ghiblis.
Okay.
Actually.
Yeah, that
I
makes
think
sense.
I think they're
like a gateway drug into...
I think that's somebody who's like, I want something European SUV, but I don't want a Macan because everyone on my street has a Macan.
The Ghibli is like everyone. It's like, I don't want a 5 Series or I don't want like an A6.
Yeah, they want an Infiniti
with
more angles.
Oh, that's the small
sedan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like I said, I never see these things.
I see Stelvios around, and I see Julias around.
Yeah,
I mean,
I saw Julia yesterday with the yellow big brakes.
Yeah, the
TI.
Yeah,
yeah, it was cool.
Lieberman will go to bat to the death for his Julia TI, but I mean, without product investment, like, you know, all of these products are like kind of aging at this point. Like,
well, they mentioned a Barth really
update.
A Barth is dead. I mean, not dead, but they don't sell anything here right now.
Yeah.
The 500's gone. The 124 is gone. So,
Are they selling the X, the 500X? Are they selling any Fiats here right now?
Fiat, I think, is selling the X and the, what's the other one?
The E?
M?
No, the L.
E's
the
L.
L. The L is one of the ugliest vehicles that you'll ever see.
Yeah, the E is
really
gone.
Really sad looking.
All 500s are gone. The E is gone. There's a new generation of E, but we're not getting it.
Yeah, I would say the future's not strong for Fiat.
No.
Maybe Alfa might survive, and Maserati will certainly be around for a while.
Yeah. Maserati has this long history of just circling the drain for 100 years.
Yeah,
yeah, they have hang in there kitten posters everywhere, and they managed to stay in. I mean,
Hector. Nick Hanscom says, Brad is a great Twitter follow. Yes, he is. Is it Are you BC Brownell?
BC Brownell
on Twitter. Brad is a very good Twitter follow. Happy you're doing. Oh yeah, happy you're doing right after the FTR shenanigans. You wrote an article about dropping a press bike on a press launch. That's got to be a fucking nightmare.
This guy paid $5 to call me out on the internet.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I messed up. It's just the fact of the matter. I ran too wide in a corner, and I bumped into a side of a mountain.
Ooh.
And
did
bike,
you ride it out?
I possibly could have, but it broke the radiator.
Oh.
I was a little... I was winded. It knocked the wind out of me. But
is
I had
on dirt or on tarmac?
It was on tarmac.
Okay.
Yeah. I went in at maybe 15 miles an hour or something like that. It wasn't a big hit. I had a sore shoulder for like 4 days. I had a scuffed knee, and that was basically the extent of it. And the bike was not rideable because the radiator was busted. But it started. I got up, and I had that adrenaline rush of when you crash. It's like, I don't want anybody to see me crash. So I picked up the bike and got it started again, and then it started spitting water. I was like, I got to admit this.
Yeah, that sucks.
But then when you come down and you chill, you're like, oh, yeah, I probably shouldn't have ridden away anyway because I don't know if I have, like, concussion or anything like that. Like, I could have been messed up.
How often do bikes get hurt on press rides? Because it's definitely a riskier thing than a press drive.
Not super often, but I've heard of it happening. And I know on press drives, people wreck cars occasionally. Not super often, but occasionally.
My learning curve on a motorcycle is definitely longer than it is on a car.
Yeah.
For sure. I really need 20 miles, 30 miles to really go, okay,
well,
this is where I'm comfortable.
This day was really weird because it was like, okay, we're going to get on the bikes. We're going to go do an urban photo stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like hurry up and wait. And then it was like, okay, we're going to ride this really fast road that has almost no corners. And then we're going to have, you know, a stop for water for 2 hours. Because they were like doing interviews or something. So they were conducting interviews with like the CEO of the company. I was like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah.
I'll be okay. And then we went, they were like, okay, now it's time to go to the fun road. When we get to the fun road, it's like 2 p.m. There's cars everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's busy as heck. And I get this like red mist almost where I'm just like, I've been so frustrated waiting around all day. I'm going to hammer down. And I just went into it too hot. And like, I was stuck behind traffic and I passed the traffic and I was like, oh, I got open road.
I know exactly how that feels.
And then just,
that sucks.
Yeah.
You get in LA, you get stuck in these traffic jams and there's people around me who, after sitting this horrible traffic jam, will just accelerate to like 55. And I'm like, are you not a half hour late for whatever the fuck you were going to? Like, come on, I understand the red, that mist.
I make no excuses. Obviously, I screwed up. I wrote about that in the thing. It was just, you know, I messed
up. Glad you're okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Dude, that shit can happen to anybody.
Yeah. And they say, you know, the thing with bikes is that there's two kinds of riders, people who have put one down and people who will put one down.
Yeah.
And the key is what gear you're wearing. So I was wearing good gear.
And what gear you're in.
And what gear you're in.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully nobody just pulled out in front of you at 120. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was wearing the right stuff, and I didn't hit that hard. It was just a minor fuck-up.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm glad you're okay.
Yep.
And bike radiators can be certainly fixed. Yep. Scouting for Zen is, says, I'm considering moving to L.A. For press fleet proximity. Fucking compete with me, why don't you? I see.
You can't sit with us.
Because of home prices, I'm looking at places in San Bernardino, Bakersfield, Crestline, and so on. Is that too far for the fleets? If you're talking about delivery, yeah. They will not deliver. San Bernardino, like, that's real far. Like, that's, that San Bernardino is where L.A. meets the desert. Mm-hmm. Like, that's like, most of the fleets are either by, they're along the 405. So either they're by LAX, they're between LAX and Long Beach on the 405. So, like, not that you need to live on the west side, but I'm just letting you know that that's like 2 hours.
You have to. Like, Mike Amuzio moved to Big Bear.
Who did?
Mike Amuzio from
California.
But he has to, like, he drives in to get a press car and then drives home.
And so. And by the way, I forget whatever your name is, dude. If you're going to go that far from, like, I don't want to say civilization, but, like, if you're going to go to the edge of town, like, go up in the mountains. Don't don't go to Riverside. 100%. Like, trust me. Or go, or you know what? Like, go south, like North County, San Diego, like Encinitas maybe, or Oceanside or something like
there's
that.
There's some great roads down there,
there's
too.
Good shit down there. Yeah, there's good stuff down there. But like, you don't want to have to drive from the west to the east across Los Angeles. Like, that's a shitty drive. And so either go north to the mountains, you know, or south down to North County, San Diego. I wouldn't go. And Bakersfield is like a – that's a hard no. That's like a real – we really don't even stop in Bakersfield, honestly. Yeah, no, that's far, dude. Luis Correa says, I'm looking to buy an 80s-era – CX500 or similar style of Japanese bike from the 80s. Any suggestions? $3,000 to $4,000 budget. I have a CX500.
You have a turbo.
And the turbo. Yeah, the is turbo. There a non-turbo CX500 also? Oh, yeah. I have the turbo. It's parked in the lobby.
Yeah. Go to Rad for sale.
Yeah.
We've always got bikes for sale.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that we have, you know, that right now, but...
I mean, a Honda CB750 is a really nice bike. The CB750 Nighthawk, is that correct? Nighthawk, I think. VFRs, a VFR 800 is a great bike. I don't...
Anything from a major brand from that era is basically going to be...
Pretty durable.
Pretty similar, pretty durable. I mean, Japanese brand, obviously.
My turbo needs a proper refurb before being ridden. I didn't buy one that was, like, ready to be ridden, but it probably needs a couple $1,000 to really be...
Looks really nice, though.
It's exactly what I bought it for, to look at in the lobby every morning. It says turbo all over it. It's great. One day, eventually I will get it fixed up and bring it to Radwood, but it just is a good display piece, right?
Yeah.
Long Block wants to know, has anyone got their hands on press cars for the new Z? No, the new Z is not out yet. That yellow one that everyone's taking pictures of is an engineering mule of some kind. I think it does run, right? It runs, but I think it's just a photo car. It's definitely not a dynamic car. Still pretty early in that process. This semiconductor thing might be a problem, huh?
That's, an interesting question of where things are going to go, because everything's delayed right now.
Yeah, like factories
Even, like,
are shut down and stuff. Yeah.
If F-150s slowed down, you know it's messed up.
Nothing stops F-150 production. Zach was driving the F-150 hybrid.
Yeah,
power boost. Did we even really talk about it in the show yesterday with Hannah? We really glossed over it, didn't we?
We had a lot of
we recapped our off-road
trip.
Do you want to talk about it now?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's very impressive. I mean,
I drove it for like 100 feet, and it felt like a Prius.
Pretty
much.
You know, it cycles on and off with the EV motor, which is very quiet.
Doesn't it still use quite a lot of fuel?
It's still, I think at best, it gets 24 miles per gallon city and highway and combined.
Okay.
So that is at best.
Yeah. What did you get?
I got 18 and a half on the whole 1,000 miles we did, but that's because we did so much downhill that it was doing regen braking with the engine off for like every descent we did, which was cool.
So I did a lot of silent off-roading, which I thought was pretty neat.
I'm into it. I'm very into
EV
that.
Off-roading really seems like a good
That's one of the reasons why I want to test the 4XE. the Jeep. That sounds cool.
Yeah.
Just go Rubicon it and all in electric.
It depends though on how strong that electric motor is. Like, can it move the vehicle over rocks or up a hill?
Sure.
Not really. It was okay for flat stuff
and downhill.
And downhill, of course, which was nice.
Yeah.
Because I think for off-roading, I either want to have the experience of like, if it's quiet, that's great, or it's going to be like V8 and let's go 100 miles an hour, like trophy truck style. But if it's like, let's listen to a V6, help us climb over these rocks, it's kind of just whatever. Like the exhaust note is not why I'm there. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty rad that you could do that. I wish you could hit a switch to save the battery for when you got to camp, you know, because you can use that lithium-ion battery pack like as a power source in camp, but it decides
when it's
turning
on and off. It doesn't have a charge mode?
It doesn't have a like.
Oh
yeah,
you need a charge and store mode. That would be nice, so that you can get to camp with a full battery pack and then run your shit silently without the truck.
Yeah.
Like when we were at camp, like the truck cycling on wasn't annoying. Like
it certainly was
a pretty quiet engine. It was not that big of a deal, and it didn't come on like it wasn't constantly running by any means. But like if you could pre-juice it, that would be nice.
Yeah,
because we were doing that in the van. You pre-charge the battery, and then you have the engine running as little as possible. You know, when you get
exactly.
There,
yeah, it would be very cool. But it's, I mean, the whole point of that, because there are other trucks that have hybrid systems also, and this is just a little more advanced one. But this runs the power to the bed for the Pro Power thing, and that is kind of a game changer. And I asked people on my Instagram, I was like, people that actually, you know, work with tools, like, because I don't. You know, those of you who actually have skills and things, like, will you use this on a job site? And the response was, for large contracting jobs, probably not, because you're doing the work away from where you can park a vehicle. You'd have to run really long extension cords. Mm-hmm. But people that service race cars, do track support, or are like small home contractor or repairmen, they're like, absolutely. And camping people.
The comment I saw was that people would get generators stolen from their truck bed.
Yeah, that guy's like, he's had three stolen.
Yeah.
So this gets rid of that problem.
Yeah.
So if you run things out
of
your generator,
because of course they do, because every fucking decrepit RV in Venice has a fucking stolen generator fucking bike chained to the back of it, dude.
Yeah, the generator is worth more than the RV. Like, where did you get this thing?
Yeah.
They're going to sell a gazillion of them. They always do. But this thing was quieter on the highway than the M4 we had, the Kia Telluride I had, like almost pick your luxury car we've had. And somehow they managed the wind and tire noise.
Oh, was that what you said? I forget. My friend Brandon called me about a Kia Telluride, and I said, I was just talking to Zach, and he just told me that the something-something was better on the highway than the Kia Telluride. Was it this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, on a smooth road, it's way better.
Yeah, he's not going to want an F-150, but okay.
No. But the Kia is pretty good, but it was like, that was the only kind of downside about that car. But comfortable storage, all the things. Like, it's not as nice inside as the Ram, but it's pretty fucking
The Ram's
nice.
Super cushy.
Yeah.
That's a cushy truck.
And the Ram,
truck,
I think, looks a little more luxurious. This, like, just looks functional, but it's really good.
Oh, wow. Here we go. 1 million fewer cars will be built this quarter because Ford, GM, Stellantis, Toyota, VW, Honda, Nissan, and Subaru have lost production for lack of chips. Oh, wow. Wow. Guys, we're going to have to go into a country that few people can pronounce and start getting some rare earth metals. I mean, Elon will know what to do. We'll go to Elon.
He's the hero. He's the guy that's going to... He's trying to save the earth, Matt.
Right, of course.
From
of course.
Mars. From
we
Mars.
Need to, we right. need to transition.
He's trying to save it so hard that he's going to leave.
I'll be right back.
We need to transition.
I'm going to buy some cigarettes.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'll be right back, kids.
Yeah.
I'm going to the store for smokes. Why do you have a suitcase, Dad? Why do you have a spacesuit, Dad? No, don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. Anything else? What program do you use to manage your video setup with the phones? It's called SwitcherCast. It works most of the time. It works really well for all in-studio stuff, but their Zoom-like call-in feature is kind of buggy, which is a little annoying. But for in-studio, it works really, really good. Dude, flatsixes.com.
Yes.
Radwood and all the associated Rad for sale. And then we've got Autopia
29.
Is that Autopia2099.com?
Yeah. Yep.
Fuck me. You have like, and you're Angelopnik.
Yep. And one of the things that I was down here for was I'm doing a big piece for Auto Week on like the history of EV hot rodding.
Oh, cool.
So I went down to EV West.
Of course.
I went to a shop out.
What'd you drive? Anything?
No. It was rainy and nasty. I was like, yeah, I'll just take some photos. And
drive the M3.
Do they still have that thing kicking around?
They had it 2 years, 3 years ago.
They might have had a problem with it. Okay. It was at a body shop. Oh. And
someone sent it too hard there.
they sure did. But it was at a body shop getting painted, and they left it out overnight, and it got rained on. And the carbon fiber hood has vents right over an electric motor.
Oh, no.
And it burned.
Oh, no. Did it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
It's going to be repaired, but it's in a bad situation right now.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Oh, that was a fun car.
Yeah. Oh, well. It'll get. He said he's going to build it back better than before, but it's
maybe start with another E36.
Basically, this one's already got a cage and he said he went and looked at it, and basically the carbon fiber hood had shrink wrapped itself to everything underneath because it just got hot and melted.
Oh wow, that's crazy! Yeah. I bet you could make that into a coffee table. Probably awesome,
dude. That sucks.
Engine block coffee table.
Yeah,
electric EV motor version. Yeah.
They're doing a really, really cool electric land speed record attempt this year. So I'm kind of documenting that. And
we talked to them. It's the belly tanker thing, right?
No. They've got a new one.
Oh, no. It's,
well, they built a crazy thing.
Yeah, they went last year.
Right, and then they broke a record. Some markers, and now they're like really going for it.
They have a new chassis, a new driver, a new everything.
Jeez.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're
nuts. They're aiming for 350. Their last record was 220. They're aiming for 350.
Sure, why not? That's good. That's awesome.
He's like, the class record was to kind of give us an opportunity to prove ourselves and like say, you know, you don't just show up to the salt.
Of course. Yeah, no.
So
no one does shit the first year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met those salt guys. They're out of their minds.
So he's like, you know, we showed up and they were already looking at us weird because we went... we did our three test runs to get our license.
Yeah, like 150, 180, 200 or whatever.
And then our next two runs were setting a world record.
Nice.
And then our next two runs after that, we raised the record.
That's
the one
cool
that we just broke.
Fuck.
So that one has the wheels outside of the chassis.
Yeah.
This new one is like pencil.
Oh, okay.
It's like...
It's a different class or is
it... Same class. Okay. Because
is the class streamliner?
SCTA has three classes for EVs, and they're all based on weight.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter what it is. It's just got to be under this weight.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously with lithium ion, you can easily do that now.
Yeah. The weight is, they're heavy, so whatever.
It's just stability is the only problem.
Right.
So.
But that would be the same if it wasn't EV. I mean, that has nothing to do with it being EV. It's just like, can you build anything that will stay on the ground at 350 miles an hour?
Right. So I'm really excited to see how this goes. He said that the success of last year has bought him a couple of years of fucking around to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if they don't win a record this year, he's not that worried about it. Like they'll you know, keep going a couple
of
years.
That's so cool.
But yeah, it's extremely cool. And it's just a Tesla motor.
Just
350.
One.
Yeah, one.
Just one.
Yeah, one.
How many batteries?
Just enough to get, you know, 3 miles or whatever.
So it's like two.
Yeah.
It's like not even like a lot of...
I mean, you're putting a lot of juice through it, so it's a few. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, it's maybe a like 400-pound pack.
Yeah, it's probably the same like pack that I had in like that silly little Willy's Jeep thing I drove. Like just a small like thing.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
And it's space limited is the problem. So they've got to like...
And cooling, right? The cooling's a challenge. Yeah. That's cool, man.
So yeah, I was down there for that. And then I went to a shop out in Rancho Cucamonga. They're doing bus and, you know, Beetle swaps.
Buses make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Buses make a ton of sense.
Yeah, because they look great.
Yeah.
The fucking powertrains are shit pile.
You don't have to go fast.
Like, yeah.
Nobody expects you to go fast.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of like putt around, get really good mileage, you know.
And not have to deal with a 30 horsepower, like terrible motor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So
that'll be good times.
Radwood Rad for sale, Autopia 2099, flat sixes, Auto Week. Jalopnik, EV Pulse.
Fuck, man, you have more credits than like
this dude's got
Marvel
the record
right now.
The fucking record for Flux. That's crazy.
Hey, did we already talk about why we were late today?
Oh, no, we didn't. My car broke down.
Because your car broke down.
Yeah, my shitty old 912E that everyone knows me for, my loud yellow banana.
That exhaust is loud.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's super quiet in the car. I promise it is.
Well, the whole
it's all just going out the back.
Yeah, in a Porsche, when the whole engine is behind the driver, the volume doesn't come into the car like
the
that.
The only time that it's loud is when I'm next to a Jersey barrier and it's reflecting into the car.
Yes.
So it's not too bad, but I drove it down here from Reno last week for the Taycan thing, the Harley thing, going to all these site visits, visiting EV West down in fucking San Diego, going out to Rancho Cucamonga. I mean, I've put 1,000 miles on it in the last week.
Oh my God.
And the points died out when I was up on Angeles Crest, so I had to buy some points and replace it, and it seemed to run fine. And then throughout the week, it just progressively got a little worse. And then I went for a drive this morning up ACH and back, and it was running.
I cannot believe with all the driving that you're doing, you're like driving more recreationally. But go on. Yeah, yeah.
I did 2 ACH runs. And I drove the Taycan all the way out to Big Bear, and you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You did the actual drive route. We just stopped in the forest.
It was fun. It was good.
It's nice.
I think it was indicative of what people are going to use that car for.
Yeah, if I was doing writing and not making video, I would have done the whole drive route too. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I drove it up the hill this morning for Good Vibes Breakfast Club, which was cool. Drove it down. It was driving better than it has in 4 or 5 days.
Cars drive great downhill, usually.
Well, even uphill. Even uphill, it was doing pretty well. We got down to the city.
It feels so powerful. It's like, that's a 9% grade, buddy.
We got down to the city, and it was like 89 degrees, and all of a sudden it was missing and stumbling and kicking and bucking, and I was like, I'm just going to get it back to my stop, and I'll swap for a new set of points. Maybe it's just the points. So I put a new set of points in. It seemed to be running great. I was on my way over here. It was like, I'm over in by the airport. It was like 6 miles or whatever to get here. I got 4 miles into the 6 mile drive, and just, I was like 4,500 in third. Wah! And it just died. So I checked the points. They seemed to be fine. I checked the ignition. I swapped the coil.
Do you have one of those modules under the seat?
No.
Okay.
No. Mine is very dumb. Because it's all
you
like...
have no modules.
Yeah. There's one computer, and all it is the distributor sends the computer a signal to fire each injector.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, this has... I have another module that occasionally can take a crap that I'm instructed to keep a backup of in my glove box, which I do. But I don't think your car maybe has
It doesn't. So...
Oh, so now what? Now we gotta go back there and find out what's wrong with it?
No, I already called a shop.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to AAA it to there.
Great.
And I'm going to fly home.
Yay, solved. You'll be luxurious.
Yeah, when you're an adult, you can do stuff like
that.
You can't
just do that, yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, you gotta get some rest.
Yeah, this week has been...
Chill out a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll chill for 2 days and then go to San Francisco for 2 more press events.
The holy irony shit. Of this headline of yours from 2017, sure beats flying, crossing the country in 76-912.
Yep.
That's awesome.
That was my first like breakout story. That was on the cover of Auto Week.
2017. Yeah. September 5th, 2017.
That was actually my current boss, Rory Carroll, gave me the cover of the magazine back when they were still producing a magazine.
Oh, they're not printing anymore, are they?
Auto Week's not.
No. Yeah, yeah.
It's only online, which is fine. All my stuff's online, basically. So Natalie Neff is in charge over there now. She reached out to me and asked if I wanted to do some work for them.
To John Neff?
Maybe. Okay. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who John Neff is.
Oh, another person in our industry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Could be familial, but I'm not sure. It's an interesting last name, so who knows? Thanks for coming down, man.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it was a good time, aside from your car breaking down,
but I'm still glad you made it.
I'm glad it broke down here and not halfway home on 395.
On the middle of 395, yeah. A little Lone Pine vacation. It's all good. Right. Oh, it's cool. Yeah, no, and you're with Ben Benton can fix your shit up good.
Yeah, I'm gonna hop it down there. They were like, oh, well, we won't be here when you get it here. I don't know if you want to leave it outside. And I was like, dude, if somebody steals this, it's insured.
Yeah.
I'll be fine.
You're like, I'll take the money. That's cool.
So there'll be a 912E outside of Benton's tonight. If you really want to steal it.
But if you push it away.
Yeah. If you really, really want to steal it. It's got to be something in the ignition. It could be the computer. Mm. I don't know. He'll figure it out. He's a smart guy. I love John Benton.
Good. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Yeah. We will talk to you next week. Do we have a schedule right now?
Manuel Carrillo.
Oh, yeah.
And Crew Show.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That'll be next week.
Sweet.
That will be fun.
I love Manuel. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he rules. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.